Doc, and we are commencing our Sound Anders City Council Rules Committee meeting. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd. Madam Clerk, will you please take roll?
Councilmember Simon.
Present.
Present.
Councilmember Bowman.
Present.
Present. And Mayor Gonzalez.
Present.
Thank you. Quorum is present.
And we'll hold just a second here.
So just so that you realize, my screen is dark.
Okay.
I cannot turn anybody on.
Okay, at this point in time, we're going to ask whether we have a public announcement from our clerk.
Yes, after each agenda item is presented, the mayor will ask for committee member comments and then take public comment. You will have 2 minutes for your comment. A countdown timer will appear for the convenience of the speaker and attendees.
Okay, so with that, let's move to item number 2A, which is our only item today. Our only discussion item, to be precise in language. So we've got Deputy City Manager Eric Engelbart here to present. Please proceed.
Good morning, Mayor, and members of the Rules Committee, and members of the audience. Happy to be here today to provide a brief presentation on some potential recommended revisions to our municipal code related to our parking program. Just a little bit of background. Back in 2018, the City Council adopted what was known as the Downtown Parking Management Plan. And that plan recommended a number of policy revisions and updates to our various regulations related to parking, including the incorporation of what was known as a no reparking provision. And the purpose of that is really to ensure that in time-restricted areas in the downtown area, that vehicles actually move their vehicles at the time, once the expiration of the time restrictions takes place. And the purpose of that is really to encourage the turnover of parking stalls, to ensure the availability of parking for the traveling public, and also to support the downtown business community so that there's parking stalls available for the public to park near the businesses and frequent those businesses. As a result of those recommendations that stem from the parking management plan, City Council subsequently authorized updates to our municipal code to require vehicles to move at least 1/10 of a mile in time-restricted areas to avoid a no-reparking citation from the parking enforcement staff. Nevertheless, fast forward to today, due to some enforcement challenges that we've experienced with our parking enforcement staff, including available technology, as well as the difficulty in communicating regulations to the public, as a practical matter, on-street enforcement is presently based on parking zones that are about 1 to 2 blocks in length and less than 1/10 of a mile in length. Additionally, parking lots are enforced within the boundaries of the lot or the zone. As a result of this, basically what we're recommending today is that we proceed forward with some recommended revisions to the San Leandro Municipal Code to explicitly prohibit reparking within established zones rather than by the distance. And just to help kind of visualize what this means, you can see on the screen before you, this is an image of our downtown area, and you can see those established zones that are color-coded. Would note that they are all those color codes are less than 1/10 of a mile in length. And essentially what this no parking provision means is that, and all those are time restricted. So basically after a vehicle has been parked and it's reached the maximum amount of time, they need to move out of that zone, right? In order to encourage the turnover as opposed to allowing somebody to just kind of continue to keep the meter and reset their time restrictions. So that was that item. The second area of our parking program that we want to address today relates to what's known as the Residential Parking Permit Program. Back in 2003, the City Council established this program, which is administered by the Public Works Department and the Engineering Division. And the purpose of that program is to enable residents to park unlimited hours within time-restricted areas. Now, there is an application process that neighborhoods would have to go through to apply for this. A certain critical mass of property owners in a particular neighborhood have to opt into it, agree to it, and then there's costs associated with that. Startup costs alone for city are approximately $10,000. And notably, that parking program's been very minimally utilized. The most recent program that was in existence was on McKinley Court from approximately 2003 to 2021. And it was only served in 17 homes, and it was ultimately discontinued due to lack of participation. And since that time, the city has not received any applications to participate in this program. And as a practical matter, the program's been effectively dormant since that time. So as part of our efforts to update and modernize our parking program and coordination with our parking consultants, staff did evaluate the program, and based on just the lack of interest from the public, we're recommending the formal elimination of the program from our municipal code. Again, as a practical matter, the program hasn't been operating in many years, and so we're just essentially recommending that we memorialize that through a formal elimination of the program from the code. In terms of our recommended next steps, in partnership with the city's attorney's office, we would plan to develop proposed code revisions to memorialize these two changes that we just covered in our presentation today, and then we'd be prepared to present those code revisions to the city council and chamber.
Recording in progress.
The first ordinance. And that covers the presentation. We'll be happy answering questions.
Okay, so thank you for your presentation. At this point in time, we will take public comment on this item.
Mayor, we have not received any comment cards.
Okay, so we'll close public comment on this item and come back to committee members for questions, discussions, elaboration, and guidance. So we'll begin with Council Member Simon. So hold on just a second, we're experiencing technical difficulty.
What we might like on I'm live
now. Now
thank you so much. Thank you for the presentation. Question on the no-only parking. Just, is this something that's supported by the business community, the Downtown Association, or Chamber of Commerce?
I have not had explicit conversations with the Chamber, but generally speaking, this is considered the best practice for business communities, for the downtown business owners, because essentially, with any absence of having an no-only parking provision, it allows people to just feed the meter and lock up parking stalls. So as a practical matter, it precludes the availability of parking. So particularly for folks visiting, for short-time visits to a business, they want to run into the bank, they want to run into the restaurant, an ice cream shop, etc., do a quick errand, go to the dry cleaners. In the absence of an no-way parking provision, vehicles could effectively just stay there all day long and just continue to feed the meter, particularly for folks who work downtown. So part of the larger effort is really to get folks to comply with those time limitations to move along to increase the availability of stalls. And of course, we have the alternative available downtown with our downtown parking garage, which does allow all day parking for those folks or people who work downtown, etc.
May I add that when the 2018 downtown parking management plan was developed, both the chamber and the Downtown Association and the businesses were involved in that development that had the original recommendation for no reparking.
Great, thank you. And just in a big picture with parking, the point of metered parking is to keep people moving along. Businesses they want metered parking, so people don't leave their cars there all day.
Correct.
Okay.
So really the purpose of it is to increase the availability of parking in the area.
Okay. And it doesn't discourage people from coming downtown paying meters?
No, typically not. I mean, this is generally considered best practice in most municipalities. You can see across the region, you're visiting other communities, adjacent communities, you all see the downtown areas are all metered, and they have similar provision in effect for the same purpose, to support the business community and increase the availability of the stalls.
Got it. Thank you. Those are my questions.
So thank you. At this point in time, we will go to Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Do we have other areas of the city that have metered parking like this, and that would have the same challenges?
My concern is Bancroft. Would be the other area.
Sorry, what area?
Bancroft.
Just like.
There's that section along your Paradiso.
Yes, I know that section.
Yeah.
Okay, and then on the on the slide, it has it color coded. Is it actually color coded in, like, on the meters, like the zones, or are they all green right now?
Yes, it is color coded. You will find that the yellow area is called downtown north. The orange area is downtown core. The kind of purple area is downtown south. So we have color coded the area. However, the zones that are less than a tenth of a mile are numbered according to these numbers. So there are four different zones in the downtown north area, and the enforcement and education is based on those zones. That's the defining.
But on the actual meters, there's the different colors on them?
Yeah, the stickers have been replaced, so the stickers are consistent with this color. And then over in Bancroft, Dutton, they are a light blue.
Okay. And so, they've already been replaced, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And then what does the education outreach or notice look like so that people know not to, just that they have to park somewhere else, or what would that look like?
So certainly, I mean, we have those stickers. We also have the machines also have notifications. We also have, we plan to include notifications on the homepage of our Park SL website to make sure that that's abundantly clear.
Yeah, it does say no, it says 3 hour max, no reparking.
And when you're putting money in the meter, is it with the Park Mobile app?
Well, there's a multiple option, so you can actually, some of the meters you can use both coins in, and other cases you also have the option to use the app.
And when you use the app, is there a way to be able to note on the app that about the parking restrictions? Because usually you can just go in and use add, you know, on the app. But if the app tells you you can do it, but...
I don't believe the app allows you to continue to add time.
Okay. I would make sure about that, but... Thank you.
Yes, I just want to highlight that last one as well, because, I mean, I don't know that people necessarily think twice about which zone they're in. They have colors now, it sounds like. Do they also say zone one, or it actually has the name, so it's really simple for people to know?
It has the numbers on the meter.
Right, so like 3903 or 3963, it has that kind of thing.
That's on the meter.
But I, as an individual, I go and park in front of that Presbyterian church at 3963 mm-hmm. this weekend. How would I know that, oh, I need to stop, and I'm going to stop at 3955, whatever it says. How will I know that I'm still in the same zone? Because I'm clearly at a different number.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point, and that is right now, there's the municipal code says it's 1/10 of a mile. That's nowhere. It's just expected that everybody knows. So this is our effort to better educate people and help communicate what the rules are. The truth is, this no parking is really for employees, to encourage employees not to move their car or pump the meter in that area. So the way that enforcement goes is, for example, if you park there in the downtown and then you leave and you come back and you're not parking in the next kind of period of time, you will not get a ticket because you haven't reparked in that area. So the enforcement really is for the employees who are moving their car. And the intent and what it says in the code is to avoid people trying to...
evade enforcement.
Yeah, to evade enforcement. So really it will be enforced when people are abusing the parking.
And the code has relevant provisions about that.
You're talking about the 1/10 of a mile piece. That'll disappear. So clearly that won't be enforced. The idea of enforcing parking only to D deal with abuse, I'm not quite sure I understand that, because there are plenty of people that are getting parking tickets for being there a little bit too long. And by a little bit too long, they put, you know, whatever, $2 in the meter, and their meter expired, they came back because they were in some place an hour and a half, not an hour and 15 minutes. So we are giving tickets for that, and I don't consider that to be abuse. So help me understand a little bit about that concept.
Well, there are different reasons why you would receive a citation. And right now, people are receiving citations when they don't place money in their meter or sign up through the app. But this is this provision is intended to prevent people from trying to evade the system. And so there are a lot of people who do that, but there are some people who work at particular businesses who are out there running around moving their cars.
Okay, so are we, what are we doing to encourage parking in the parking garage?
Sure, so
that's one of our parking zones, right?
Sure, certainly. So we have advertised the garage as high as it's commonly noted on the Park Excel website. We have posted out notifications about that on various social media channels as well. I'm trying to think how else we can do other encouragement.
You know, we have met with the new Central Cowan developers regarding some residential parking. We've talked to Sprouts. We do talk to the local businesses and provide them with information about how to receive a permit or reserve parking. So we are talking with people who are in that area.
Okay. I'll come back. I'll check with council members because I do have some comments about parking. I want to move to the residential parking permit. As we write densification in the city, I think one of the concerns that people have expressed is not being able to park in front of their houses. We let them convert their garages into living space, and now they don't have a place to put their car because we encourage the build-outs and take the rent and all that kind of stuff. They also get concerned about construction that is not building adequate spacing for parking, or apartments that were permitted to build 50 units with only 40 spaces, and guess what? Somehow magically people weren't going to bring cars. And in fact, people are bringing cars, and so now the streets are packed or will be packed at some point in the future. So with that context in mind, what is the harm to keeping the program in place? Because I know that other cities like Berkeley have such a program, unless they've removed it, and I'm unaware.
Sure, I'd say one of the challenges is, you know, as a practical matter, again, we have not received any applications. We have had a number of intense projects that are moving along or have already been executed. We're not receiving any interest or applications for this program. Additionally, it is approximately a $10,000 startup cost associated with launching one of these programs. Requires kind of an annual renewal of the program as well. And then also as a practical matter, enforcement really falls on SS and the police department, and given their staffing and resource constraints, it deteriorates on their ability to address other areas. And so when you kind of look at the totality of those circumstances, those are all challenges to the program. I would also note, for example, Cindy already referenced Central Cowan and some of these others. Most of these areas where you have these time restrictions are typically in the downtown area. And of course, as you know, our parking garage does have quite a lot of availability. So we are working with some of these developers, et cetera, to explore the idea, and particularly with Central Cowan, of making available like monthly, people get a monthly parking permit, or exploring an overnight parking program to give those people that kind of an overflow option to make use of that city asset that's currently underutilized.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Any commentary or additional questions, just please proceed. I believe that you had your hand up earlier, so I'm going to come back to you, Councilmember Simon, and then to Vice Mayor.
I have to follow on to the dialogue I'm hearing. As far as the employees that work in the businesses that were trying to address that issue, where are they supposed to park?
The environment of the parking garage, and then we have Liz in Washington, near Washington Plaza, that's the employee, downtown employee parking permits. Additionally, Safeway employees also have an area where they can park all day in proximity, and they can get that through an online permit portal.
We've also established parking permits for the Hayes Street, where they can park in excess of the 2 hour limit with a permit.
We have monthly online permit.
Is there education for the
yeah.
businesses
yes.
to know this?
There absolutely is. In fact, just a few months ago, we transitioned to a more an online program, a new updated software platform, and we notified all those businesses and all the employees who already had the parking permits. And in fact, so everyone was notified. We're actively working with them, and so folks are aware of that program.
Okay.
And working with those businesses.
And another kind of general question about parking downtown. There's a lot at the corner of Parrot and It's
Washington.
Yes. And I've received complaints from residents about that lot and them being unclear that it's a public that it's a paid lot. Because it says public parking. I'm just Googling the image of it right now. When you drive in, it just says public parking. Does that relate to this in any way? And are there any other private lots in downtown?
Sure. The Spelman Plaza is privately owned, but it's metered and enforced through an arrangement with the owners of the Spelman Plaza property.
The lot that you're referring to, I'm actually a little surprised that there's still signage on it regarding parking. It was a former redevelopment agency property, and those signs were related to when the farmer's market was there. So they need to be removed because it's now privately owned. It is not a public lot. The only the other lot is the lot on Dan Meany Way and Davis. That is, again, a former redevelopment agency parcel that is now privately owned. We do have an agreement with the owners, and those spaces are available with no time limits except for no overnight parking.
Okay, because the one in Perry in Washington, it says, at least on Google, and what not my neighbors, but residents have told me is that it says public parking air garage, and that's it. And when you see it, you think, it's free public parking, and then they get tickets because they didn't do whatever they're supposed to do with the online app situation.
Okay, that's a different parking lot. That is, so there are many private parking lots downtown. That's the Parrot Center lot. It's owned by the Scribner family, and they contract with Air Garage for parking enforcement. Similarly, the village has its own parking enforcement and restrictions, as does the kind of Chipotle in the Greek. So we have many private parking lots, and we do not do enforcement with them except for the agreement that we have with Pelican Center and the Dan Meany Way parking lot.
Okay, I'm just concerned about the public being confused. Or I'm not sure what the exact term is, of being ticketed when it says public parking and it doesn't say anything about charges or anything like that.
Councilmember Simon, that I've actually been in that parking lot. There is signage in the parking lot on the poles to tell you to pay for parking. So maybe, and there's signage as you enter that parking lot to tell you that you need to pay for parking. So a public parking lot only means that the public can park. It doesn't equal you can park for free.
Yeah, the entrance sign, it just says public parking air garage, period. Now, there might be signs within there, but if you don't happen to park next to that sign within there, you don't know. So I just think that, like you say, the entrance sign should say something to eliminate confusion. Thank you.
Coming to you, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. To follow up on that, just so I understand, the parking lot that Councilmember Simon is referring to is private property, and you also mentioned other lots in the downtown area. So the only ones that are public as in run by the city, not public as in open to the public, is the parking lot on Danyami. And one more.
Elton. Those are the two parking lots that we have agreements with the private owners to operate. There are other public parking lots. There's the whole Washington Plaza parking lot that we have an agreement with Regency and Safeway. There's also the Best Building parking lot and the garage.
Which are municipally owned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those are enforced by our contracted parking enforcement staff.
When you say contract or contracted to operate, what do you mean by that?
We have an agreement with the property owner regarding our, in the Felton Center, regarding our enforcement of the meters and how we handle enforcement and revenue. We also have an agreement on the Danyami parking lot with the owners for the use of that.
Is that also the same with the parking lot on Dutton in front of that Safeway?
We own that parking lot.
We own that
piece.
Okay. And how, in real time, how do we actually monitor and enforce this?
Well,
I understand, like, the idea of abuse, like, you drive by in the morning and you see a car, and then you drive by, like, later in the day and you see the car. I mean, how do we actually...
Are you talking about enforcement in general or just specific to the Nobly parking provision?
Just
in general.
Yeah.
Just in general. So yeah, we contract with a third-party vendor company called LAS, and they have their three parking enforcement vehicles. You've probably seen them, the white vehicles in downtown. They have a parking enforcement staff. They enforce between the hours of 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. They also enforce street sweeping as well when that takes place. And they enforce over on that Bancroft and Dunn area. And essentially, yeah, they move around and they check the meters, and then they do the GPS technology as well to flag the license plates. And so, and then, you know, meters expired or some vehicle has exceeded the time, that's when they know to enforce through a citation instead of a citation.
Okay.
And also enforce on Saturdays as well.
Yeah. One of the things to consider, I'm really excited about all the developments happening downtown, and people are sharing that they're really excited to be able to walk downtown and go between all these different businesses, especially as more businesses come. Because obviously there are more people that are out, like the safer it feels, and everybody can kind of, you know, do the loop around. One of the things I've been thinking about, the robots go through time change, and then it gets darker earlier, colder, so people... in terms of safety, when the weather changes or when it gets darker sooner, do we change, like working with SLEA or even just with SLPD to kind of patterns for like enforcement or just ensuring that the safety? Because we want people to still be outside and walking, and you know, but then for me it's like a safety concern. Like, do I really want to walk when it's starting to get darker earlier? And bring that up because if people are going, if there's less parking, we have to find ways to encourage them to take alternative modes like walking to BART or you know, a parking lot that's further away. I imagine staff are going to try to, employees downtown are going to try to park closer just because they want to be closer to their businesses when it's for safety reasons.
We are working on expansion of public safety cameras in our city garage in an effort to help ensure public safety and well-being. So that's certainly one element of it. I'm not aware that we would necessarily modify the enforcement process between 9 to 6. I mean, they basically, they have their routes and they conduct the enforcement during those hours. But.
Yeah, it is until 6 only, okay.
So any other commentary or questions of operation? Councilmember Simon, please.
Yeah, on the residential parking permit, if the city decides to revamp it 5 years later, I take it that is an option for us.
Certainly, I mean, it's within the authority and the prerogative of the city council to so direct its staff to bring the program back.
Right.
The council can certainly direct us to do so.
Thank you.
So I want to just, anything else? A little bit of a commentary when it comes to parking in general, parking downtown. I continue to believe that price meters demand. Price is the method by which we should determine if we've got insufficient demand, too much demand, and then we set the price accordingly to adjust. Our parking garage is empty for all intents and purposes. It's been empty for a number of years. We have the top floor completely shut off because no one went up there except people that were interested in doing other things than parking. So even if it's symbolic, I still continue to believe that the price should be zero to drive demand into that parking lot. So I'll speak for a government official. So when Supervisor Tam opened an office here in San Leandro, they were surprised that they had to pay for parking. And technically they don't have to, but as a practical matter, they need to pay for parking. And then I'm left to wonder, well, why are people paying for parking when there's lots of empty spaces? So this is a kind of economic principles question. It's commentary. There's really, I don't have anybody to answer at this time. But I've been harping on this now. This is my third year. I will keep harping on this principle. But I believe that pricing should be dynamic. In the middle of the day, if a little old lady shows up to get her her food at Safeway and that parking lot is full, and she comes to the city parking lot that's a little bit further for a parking meter, and all the parking meter spaces are empty, the price should be zero. It really is that simple for me. And I know that it introduces complexities because while that's zero, that the employees from those businesses may choose to park there and then be surprised when the price goes up. But as part of education, we're already driving messaging to all of those employees. And if they all have free spaces on Hayes, if they all have free spaces in our parking garage, and until we get full, right? When we get full, we can have another discussion. But right now, we just have a lot of empty spaces underutilized. And I think we really need to recognize that.
May I actually just respond and share one thing with you, and that is there is a project to update the 2018 parking management plan. So we'll be looking at parking utilization what's happening with the downtown and provide some analysis and get input and make recommendations back to the council, and that will come back to you, I don't know, probably in a year. I think we're going to start in the new year.
Yeah, the place that I would look is I'd look at Alameda Park Street. I have used that example a gajillion times, so I use it a gajillion plus one now. And that's that, you know, people do not park in front of the businesses. They park in that giant parking garage, and they walk 2 to 3 blocks. And they take advantage of that regularly. So if they can drive demand into that garage, what is it that they are doing that we're not managing to do? Maybe they just have more business. I really don't know. But I look at that garage and say, wow, that garage is highly utilized. Okay, so with that, is there a recommendation that we move forward with staff's recommendations? Is there a suggestion that we move forward? Coming to Council Member Simon.
Yes, I support. I support staff recommendation on both of these items.
Vice Mayor?
Same.
Okay, so I believe you've got 3-0 to inform the staff recommendations. We'll close this item and move to item number 3, which is public comments on items that are not on the agenda, but are within the subject matter purview of the council. Do we have any cards?
No, Mayor, we have not received any.
So we will close public comment. Any other committee member comments at this time? Seeing none, we are adjourned at, what time is it? 9:35.